Welcome to the Interviews Podcast.
Welcome, Interisti, to episode 130 of the Interviews Podcast, the official podcast of SempreInter.com. We are here for the post-match reaction of Napoli-Inter at the Maradona, which finished 1-1, goals from Federico Di Marco via a free kick in the 22nd minute, and Philip Billing in the 87th minute. As always, I'm one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa, joined here by Gianmarco Paterno. It's like you don't even know where to start. I guess we'll start here. Title race. Nothing changes after this 90 minutes. We are plus one over Napoli with 11 games to play. Atalanta doesn't take advantage after playing Venezia today. So they are still, I believe, 2 points behind. Let me just confirm. 3 points behind. And Juventus, 6 points behind in fourth place with a... With a win tomorrow, they will be 6 points behind. So what many are saying on Twitter is a four-horse race for the Scudetto. After today, what is your sentiment regarding where Inter stands in this title race? Obviously still in first, but how do you feel with the run-in with 11 games to play?
Yeah, frustrated. Did not like what I saw out there today. You would think that there would be some kind of reaction. You know, especially when you have a wonder goal scored by Di Marco, you would think that that would just lift the spirits and encourage them to want to grab another one and kind of bury this game. But I don't know. I don't know what's going on with these guys. And, you know, just it's another frustrating display.
And we'll get into what is going on, which is a good question. We also have a third today. Nick Costa has jumped in here to help us break this down. Nick, I'll throw you the same question. What's your feeling about Inter's chances to bring home number 21?
It's going to probably be the ugliest title win ever. It's another game where the midfield completely lost control, and you're not going to win a title when you can't control the midfield. So another blown opportunity to win a game against a direct rival. They didn't do it all year. So really, we need to count on everyone else to choke. And it's just what an ugly season. Like what a polar opposite last year. And I apologize for the delay getting in here.
No, all good. Ugly is a good word. Definitely not managing all of these competitions as well as we can be. On the flip side of that, is there much more that they can really be doing given all of the injuries that are now piling up for the squad? Hakan off. Early today, Di Marco off early today, Thuram only able to give 60 minutes, and then coming into the game, obviously injuries to Darmian, Zalewski, and Carlos Augusto, leaving us with a finish to this game that featured Denzel Dumfries at left wing back and Pavard at right wing back. Pavard has experience playing that position, obviously not his first. But Denzel having to put a shift on the left didn't look pretty to be expected. So feeling pretty pessimistic. I think that's okay for Interisti to be feeling right now. Nick, you mentioned these head-to-head clashes with direct rivals. It feels like we haven't won a big game all year. Even if you look in the Champions League, the win over Arsenal was not pretty. It was a very defensive performance with a rotated side. Didn't beat Manchester City, tied them, and obviously lost to Leverkusen. So yeah, as far as big matches are concerned, we haven't been able to come through. Biggest reason today for the result, Johnny, what was the number one reason why we weren't able to pick up the 3 points?
I'd say stupid substitutions. I think you got everything wrong today. You know, I can understand the situation when you're forced to take off Hakan and DiMarco. Didn't disagree with those changes. I think those are the only ones you really could make, given the circumstances. But then to have Correa be the first guy off the bench for the forwards made no sense. You need to hold up the ball and you need to run out time. Marko Arnautović would have been perfect for that. And you know Correa doesn't give you anything defensively. So Arnautović or Taremi, even if you didn't want to go to Arnautović and you wanted to go to Taremi, I would have been much happier and, you know, would have felt better about that. Don't get it. Even going with him ahead of Fratesi, who we all know is not my favorite player. I just don't get it. You have Pavard, who is better defensively, playing right wing back and not putting Bisek, who likes to go forward anyway, up there, and then having Pavard play back. And then Bisek, with his lack of awareness on that, is the direct culprit for what led to be the game-tying goal. You got everything wrong today, Inzaghi. I understood, even though I didn't agree with it, wanting to play defensively, which once we grabbed the one goal lead, that's pretty much what it became. You have limited availability in wingbacks, so you don't want to burn people out. You don't want to, you know, have them running up and down the pitch constantly back and forth. I get it. I do. Do I like it? No. But I think we were welcoming a lot of counterattacks there, so was not a fan of that at all. I think you got everything wrong, though. Everything wrong.
So there's a lot to talk about in just that little blurb that you gave us there. So why don't we start with the substitutions? I also agree that Correa was not the right choice there. I don't know that 90 minutes of Arnautović midweek means that he can't give 30 minutes at the weekend. I don't really get that. I probably wouldn't have gone to Taremi when we discuss like control of the game. This is a player who can't control a ball right now to save his life. So, you know, it was Arnautović every time. And I don't get why at his age, on his way out the door, we can't subtract as much as physically possible from him. I think it's reasonable to give 90 and 30 in the space of a few days, but that's just me. So I definitely wouldn't have done the Correa substitution. As far as the, Bisek playing the whole game, I also would have taken him out and I would have went to that flat 4-4-2. I know it's not a formation that we've played a ton, but Pavard at that fullback and then bring on De Vrij to partner Acerbi in the middle with Bastoni at left. I like that formation. If that's what we're playing, if we're playing a little bit defensively, and Zielinski could have played that left wing, left midfielder position just fine, like he did against Lazio midweek. So really, really unhappy with the Correa substitution. I'm right there with you. As far as playing defensively, Nick, I want to go to you here. I believe that the shutting down shop thing had more to do with the energy that this team has to give at this point in time than anything else. Like, I think if this was early in the season and we had fresh legs, I don't think we would have played like this, but this is sort of the card that we had to play. The disappointment comes from playing that card so early in the match where Napoli was creating stuff even with all that pressure. The only thing that they created was that billing goal. And of course, you know, it happens in the 87th minute after playing like that for 45 minutes where you tuck in. It's impossible to do that and not expect at least one clear-cut opportunity to fall through. So what are your thoughts on Inter playing in
if you wanted
that
to sit back and maybe catch Napoli on the counter, that's now. One thing, because Napoli have been playing like crap the last month. They still haven't won a game in 5 weeks, so take advantage of a weakened Napoli roster, I guess. Like, they're in the same boat as us. They have injuries, so I don't really buy that per se. and you heavily rotated on Tuesday or Wednesday, right, the Copa. So again, don't like sitting back that much. I felt like Inter were on their heels from the 30, 35th minute on with a couple of chances. And, you know, maybe if you're tired, stop giving the ball away needlessly and you control the game at your pace instead of letting Napoli dictate it for 70 minutes almost. Maybe if Mkhitaryan could pick out a right pass, or if the defenders and midfielders weren't sending grenades up to the forwards that were coughing up the ball a lot, maybe that would have made a difference too. You know, control the game on your terms like they did last year, which obviously, like you said, there's injuries, there's fatigue, but I'm sorry, this is a Napoli team that hasn't been playing well, and you just can't sit on your heels for over half the game like they did. It's going to bite you in the ass every time, and it's been biting them all fucking season.
Yeah, you know, the point about Napoli not playing well, Johnny, I don't know if you're noticing this too, but it seems like every big game that we play, whether it be against Napoli, Milan, or Juventus, they could play trash for the weeks leading into it. And then for some reason against Inter, everyone gives their best effort. And it's never an easy run. Did you think Napoli deserved the point today based off of their play, having not really created much, winning a lot of corners, but only really creating one opportunity that they end up putting away?
I think so, sadly. We didn't play like we wanted to win. And they did. They continued to push. And even though they didn't really have opportunities on goal, we also blocked. I mean, the last time I checked, it was 8 shots. You know, it's not like they weren't taking attempts and they weren't getting opportunities. I mean, Acerbi made one huge attempt save. Bastoni made 2 that could have been 2 goals. You know, like, just because there are no, you know, shots on goal doesn't mean that they weren't getting and creating opportunities. So that's another thing. I mean, Bastoni, why do you sub him off? You like, he looked pissed coming off. So it's not like he was tired or hurt or anything. The guy was the best player on the pitch the entire game that he was on it. And you decide, oh, this is the perfect time to take him off. And I'm not saying De Vrij shouldn't have come off.
He's playing out of his mind today, Johnny. He's playing out of his mind.
It should have been for Bisek. Hands down. Like, it just...
No!
I've never seen him play that well defensively, ever. He was unbelievable. Like, this was the performer. I mean, not that he hasn't played well defensively. He's been phenomenal all season. But this was, like, another level, which I was like, holy shit. This is what I've been waiting for. Now you really are, in my opinion, the best defender in the world. I don't care what anyone says. He's got everything. Everything. And to take him off, the only way I would have taken him off is if he was hurt and he was asking for a sub. Honestly. That's the only way I would have taken him off. And I'm just so confused. So confused by the decisions today.
Yeah, and I don't know that keeping him on and going to that flat 4 at the back would have been such a heavy lift for him, even if he was super exhausted. It is going to be interesting to see what the comments are in the post game, if there's things that we don't know as far as like injuries are concerned. But it was super, super disappointing to see him come off. Looking super ahead, we'll get back into this game, but just looking super ahead to next season and looking at the roster that we have now, one thing that kept coming to mind for me was a desire to get more athletic. It felt like we were getting pushed around a lot on the pitch today. In fairness, Dovetti was not really calling the type of game that was reining in Napoli's over aggressiveness and over physicality, but the point stands of like we definitely got bullied and pushed off the ball. For both of you guys, we'll go to Nick first, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I do think it is a topic that we need to talk about. The refereeing today felt very like Napoli was able to do whatever they wanted as far as the physicality, But the same was not afforded to Inter. A game where there were only a few yellow cards, most of them coming for people on the bench, it didn't feel like it matched the physicality that we saw today.
It was terrible. Do you have any? Just like when I asked the question to you guys a couple weeks ago, why is it every year the Serie A officiating is called into question? You had a missed penalty against Dumfries that wasn't even looked at. Luckily, DiMarco buries it.
This would have been a scandal. That's not more and story is because DiMarco
yes,
put that
away.
Yes,
it was very uneven. Yeah. I felt like Politano should try out for the Italian diving team for the next Summer Olympics because he was a disgrace out there today. I understand everyone's trying to draw fouls, but he was a disgrace. And Doveri fell for almost every single one of his dives. And yeah, I felt like they were mauling our forwards, our midfielders for the ball. And it was very unbalanced. Inter breathed on a knot. Of course, I'm probably a little biased, but Doveri, who's usually one of the better referees, had a shocking day. And stop going to Christina Uncle for expert advice. She's not an expert, yeah. Paramount. Get somebody else.
Johnny, is the biggest discrepancy in the way that the game was officiating more apparent than how Lukaku was officiated versus Lautaro? For me, Lautaro was mugged and was not getting even close to the calls that that Lukaku was getting.
It was ridiculous. And I tweeted it like, I've always thought Doveri was the best referee in the league. Really. When he would do the Derby d'Italia, fair, both sides, never let things get out of control, would give yellows when needed, would call fouls that were actually fouls. I never once thought we got slided, Juve got slided. It was always a good game. This was unbelievably horrific. Absolutely horrific. There was a few times on the sideline where Dumfries got mauled, nothing. The blatant miss with Ramani chopping at Thuram, yellow card.
Not even
any
a card.
Day of the week. And twice on Sunday, not even a card. Forget that it wasn't even a card. It wasn't even called a foul. That's insane to me. Lautaro being tripped up, shoved to the ground, all these things getting blown out through the coming in through his back. I just don't get it. Nothing. You breathe on Lukaku, foul. You look at Politano, foul. I don't know if Doveri was trying to put to rest the rumors that he's an Interista or something. I don't know. I don't know if that's why he decided to go completely off the deep end, but this was unbelievable. And Rahmani probably should have had two yellows in the first half, got nothing. And that just allowed Napoli to think, okay, we can do what we want out there and nothing is going to get called.
It and encouraged them to continue to
100%.
Attack.
100%. Yeah.
Two players that I think we need to talk about as far as Bidone are concerned, Henrik Mkhitaryan and Jan Bisek. For me, Jan Bisek did not show the same kind of personality that we've seen him show in previous games. And I thought he just it was way too easy, every action that came at him. And Mkhitaryan didn't really offer anything.
I hate Mkhitaryan. You've heard me dunk on him before on your platform. I don't think he does anything well anymore. He turns the ball over all the time. He's been loose with the ball ever since he's been here. He gets never any shots on target anymore. If you go back and watch highlights of just Champions League games, Serie A games of the season, he's a disaster out there. He offers you nothing. I know a lot of Inter podcasts, you guys included, everyone's talking about Inter need a major refresh this summer, whether they win the Scudetto or not. And it starts with him. He should not be your starter in a game of this magnitude. It's just he doesn't offer anything. He has a bit of a motor, but he's been exposed badly in all the big games this year against Juve and Milan and Napoli. He's not quick with the ball. He can't take his man on. And he's just so sloppy with the ball when it's time to go. Can't find the open man. It's just, it's painful watching him. I know Gianmarco feels the same way about him. He's almost as useless as Asllani.
The Mickey discourse usually has to do with Nick, like you mentioned, his motor and how much he's able to offer the team from an energy perspective. But it can't be more obvious that like he's out of gas. Now they ran him into the ground, right? And moving forward next season, he'll be on the team, but he can't be a starter anymore. He has to be a bench player. He has to be a minutes eater from the perspective of like Coppa Italia games and, you know, an away trip to Empoli or Venezia or so forth. So ready to move past Mkhitaryan. Gianni, the young German who we've praised a lot this year, did not come through today. What was the deal with him today?
Just a lack of awareness. I thought he was misplaying passes as well on the right side, not really putting himself in good positions. He was easily baited multiple times on give and goes, like where he would press the person who had the ball, then he would lay the pass off, and then that person would just blow right past. I mean, you have to know that that's what they're trying to do. Like, I just don't understand how you don't see that coming every time. And then just allowing someone like Laboca, who is not known for his speed, to make a sneaky run at the edge of the box and you not see it coming from a mile away, I'm dumbfounded. I never thought that he was the strongest defender. I did think he had good qualities. He was strong in the air, had the pace to recover if he was beaten by his man. But, you know, would kind of get caught lunging at times and be lucky, fortunate enough that he was either able to get, you know, a piece of the ball or was able to just, you know, use his imposing figure to make up for any mistakes that he had. So, you know, it was kind of masking a lot of the deficiencies in his game. I think today it was greatly exposed. I don't understand why he got the start over Pavard. You know, some people were saying because of the pace. That left side, I wasn't really worried about Raspadori doing anything. You know, he's not known for his pace. If anything, you would want him to be on the right side to kind of focus on Politano, and that wasn't where he was going to be. It was always going to be Bastoni. So I don't get that argument at all to play him over Pavard. And yeah, we inevitably got burned by it. Plain and simple.
It felt like he couldn't block across. Like every single person that wanted to put a ball in on Bissek's side, like the ball was able to come across the box. I don't understand how he wasn't able to. Usually blocking shots is something that he's pretty good, or blocking crosses is something that he's pretty good at, but wasn't able to do that today. Nick, do you think Thuram could have been deployed differently coming into the game, knowing he's coming off of the ankle injury, probably only has 60 minutes or so? Would you have deployed him as a joker later in the game, probably give you 30 minutes to give it everything he has? Or did we really have no choice, considering that would have left us on the pitch?
Thuram was getting mauled out there and wasn't getting any calls, right? Back to that. He was also kind of sloppy with the ball, but again, he was being given grenades while being just tackled. I don't think you saw Correa offered nothing today. He couldn't win a ball in the air. He didn't put anyone under duress on Napoli. Like I think you were, man, it's bad. Correa is so bad. I think it was just the use of Correa is where it starts. I'm okay with starting your best two forwards against Napoli in a game that you can't lose. And it just should have been Arnautovic off the bench. I think that's the bigger problem is Correa doesn't offer you anything. And I don't think Correa could have given you 60 minutes anyway. He probably would have pulled up a calf or something. But I you can't start Correa in a game like that. You can't.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I agree with you there. And again, it comes back to, if it was 60 minutes of Thuram and 30 of Arnautovic, we probably would have looked a lot better. Not that Arnautovic is some amazing player, but from the perspective of how physical the game was, it's easy to see that he could have done something there. Gianni Jose Martinez gives up his first goal in an Inter kit today. A, was he at fault for the goal, considering he made the save earlier? And B, what did you think of his performance as on a whole?
Not at fault for the goal by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, the guy made a huge save, point blank. It just happened to go right back. if that's Raspadori and not Billing, that ball goes right past him. It's because he's 6'6" that he's able to stretch his foot out and get another touch onto it and put it in. Like, it's the only reason he scores. I think as a shot stopper, he was phenomenal. His distribution was a little risky, and I was not too thrilled with it. I think he was taking a lot of unnecessary risks, giving, you know, especially one ball that was played right in the middle of the pitch. I see what he was trying to do, really just thread the needle the way Onana used to. And I get it. You're a La Masia product. You're just trained to be that way. And if you have the confidence, I do respect it. But I think given the circumstances in that game and the duress that we were under in that second half, that was an unnecessary risk. So overall, I'd probably give him a 7 for the match, really. And it's more so because of his poor distribution, more so than giving up that goal, which, again, was
really good in
because
the air,
a guy
too,
was a freaking giant out there and just able
he
to
was
get
killing
lucky.
A lot of balls. Yeah, I mean, and that was a kick save and a beauty.
Yeah,
but
yeah, securing the ball. Yeah, like some people would.
Yeah.
And there was one where he punched where he was kind of crowded in the box and he got so much power into it that it got 30 yards out.
I don't think
and
there's a confidence issue with him.
That's all you could really ask for in that situation.
No,
not
it's
at all.
It's an advantage that he has over Sommer as well, as far as the high stuff that's coming into the box. Distribution from him in the first half was coming off because he was connecting with the forwards. In the second half, before the ball could even get to our forwards, we were getting mugged. So it's like it's hard to really say whether or not it got worse. But obviously in the second half it just wasn't coming off for him. Nick, captain and vice captain today, I saw a lot of fight out of them, but not a lot of I don't know, contribution to Inter doing good things. I thought Lautaro at certain points was able to hold up the ball and distribute. But outside of that, obviously not very effective. Did not even get a shot off on goal. What do you give Capitano and Vice?
I felt like Lautaro really wasn't getting much service because, again, we were on our heels. He had a couple nice plays today, but I don't think he had a shot on target, right? Or even a shot. So, like, not the best, but again, when you're on your heels for, I'm not excusing it, I'm just saying, you know, cause and effect, when you're chasing the game, you don't have possession, no one's getting you the ball. I liked his hustle today, but I guess you would have liked a little more. And then you're saying vice captain like Barella? Yeah, same thing. I feel like he goes in these ruts you don't see him out there very much. He's not as dynamic, but he had a couple nice plays too. Again, I'd maybe give him both a 5 or a 6. I feel like Barella's in one of those ruts where he just needs to take the midfield by the neck and control the game. But it's kind of hard when you're trying to drag Mkhitaryan around out there, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like, he wasn't getting any help from Hakan and Mickey today as far as how physical Napoli was. He did have that nice, you know, volley to Dumfries into space. And obviously we saw that, you know, it didn't come off our way. Johnny, do we have a Hakan problem?
Yes.
It's since the injury, he has not looked himself, and it feels like every time he gets touched, he's in pain. Tony said that this is a summer where we need to seriously consider moving on from Hakan. Where do you stand as far as not only his season, but his Inter career?
Season's been, very poor. And it's not all his fault. It is obviously his body, for whatever reason, seems to be breaking down. His Inter career, I actually agree with Tony. You know, you could love a player and like him on your squad and appreciate all he's done, but that doesn't mean you just hang on to him till he's completely useless and has nothing left to offer just because of the memories. You know, like, you have to make hard decisions. It is a business. And it's also, the club comes before the player. If you're more worried about the feelings of a player, as a fan, I'm saying, than you are worried about results on the pitch, then maybe you're just a fan of a player and you're not really a fan of Inter. So I'll admit, like, I didn't want to sell him last summer when the rumors were coming around about, you know, Bayern Munich and all that. In hindsight, of course, it would have been great to get that 50 million if it was even real. I don't think it was, but you know, I think this summer that he may need to be one of the people that sacrificed, you know, and you hang on to the rest of the core, maybe, you know, even if you only get 30 million, it's still going to be all plus Valenza with him, you know, like
for a 30 plus year old, it's like you don't really have a choice.
Yeah. And even if it's 20 million, let's be honest, like, it's still capital gains. Yeah. You have to be excited about what you're getting for a guy you got for nothing. Like, I mean, yeah, he has been. He's been fantastic, and I'm thankful for everything he's done. And he, you know, he was huge last year in helping us secure the Scudetto. You could make, you know, even though he wasn't voted as the team MVP, you could make the case though for him. Like, I mean, I would, you know, I would listen to that. It's I think it's time that you have to, you know, look at other options, and whether that is a guy like Ricci, Rovella, or someone else that we may not even be thinking about right now. You know, like, I think that you have to seriously consider it, and not just for the starter, but also his backup, because obviously you see with Aslani not coming in the game, there's zero trust there. So it's going to be a summer. I really do think it's going to be a big refresh, not a whole squad revolution, but I think that management. Let me rephrase that. I hope that management sees what needs to be done, and that we, you know, will have something to be able to invest in the squad.
You see a lot of, of teams, you win a title, and then, you, like you said, Johnny saying, you hold on to a guy way too long. Like, oh, you earned it. Here's your big contract. Never leave. And it's like, well, now you're looking at a 35-year-old, and he can't even give you anything.
Yep. I mean, case in point, Mkhitaryan. You know, it's like he's given you so many minutes, and it was bound to drop off at some point. Not that he's a sellable asset, but, you know, at some point, everyone's career takes a turn. And it couldn't be more obvious the need for this team to get younger, more athletic, faster, more physical, so that we can, you know, we can handle the workload that we've earned our way into playing, right? We've earned our way into playing on all these different fronts, but you need to have the squad to be able to manage it, or else, you know, even if you do pick up results and they do win a title, or, you know, they are able to go far in the Champions League, you can't rest on your laurels forever. Nick, Acerbi today had a good game. You know, it's not like Lukaku was able to do anything. Obviously, he was getting a lot of calls against him because any touch on Lukaku
he's a general
whistle,
out there.
But what did you make of
you could see him losing his mind out there after a few plays. Like, he was getting very frustrated with everyone. So I appreciate that he's switched on and trying to keep everyone else sharp. For being a 37-year-old, I think he's doing just fine back there. Best days are behind him, but again, like, he put a lid on Lukaku, even with the referee, you know, having him under a microscope. So I keep rolling him out there in big games. Like, he puts everyone in his pocket. It's just, it is another position, though, you need to refresh, because he had some injury issues this year, and we keep talking about it. Father Time's undefeated. Like, it's going to catch up to him. Like, you can't rely on a 38-year-old next year to keep doing this. It's going to catch up to us.
Yeah. I fear that he may be playing his way into Inzaghi saying that he needs him. But we'll see how that plays out. I still think I'd rather De Vrij at his age than Acerbi at his. All right, let's give our predictions as of today for how the Serie A season plays out. That is, after today, that's pretty much the last big that we have a direct clash with. We do have both the Roman teams at home, both Lazio and Roma. We do have Atalanta coming up, as well as I believe we play Bologna away, which I would consider, you know, at this point, a tricky side for us. 11 games left, 1-point lead, official prediction for where Inter ends up in the table.
Let's see, who does Napoli play next? Nick, we'll go They're to home first. Again to Fiorentina. I think
I'll pull up Napoli's schedule while you talk through that.
I'm thinking Inter win, and it's going to take until the second to last match day.
Does your prediction change to know that they play Fiorentina at home, Milan at home, Bologna away?
I mean, Milan play like idiots against everyone this year except Inter. So I fully probably expect Milan to walk into the Maradona and get their asses kicked, because that it's just maybe they should wear black and blue stripes, Napoli, and Milan will show up. But Napoli has an injury crisis too. They have no squad depth. And that, like, since the Kvaratskhelia sale, like, that, it's showing its cracks. Like, hey, like, they can't win right now. So I think Inter will win, and they'll clinch it on their, because I think the next to last game is a home game. They'll clinch it at home. Against Lazio, because they're our brothers, they won't go after us too hard that day, and we'll win the Scudetto, and then the Como game to wrap up the season will be a formality.
Johnny.
Yeah.
Depends on health, really. I mean, wingbacks are only Dumfries is left right now.
Yep.
If Di Marco's out for an extended period, Zalewski, we know he's got a few more weeks, maybe.
2 weeks.
Carlos Augusto, hurt. I mean,
should be coming back soon.
Should be. Doesn't mean he won't re-aggravate it. Who knows what happens in training? Like, I don't know. Yeah. Thuram, you could see his ankle is definitely bothering him, so he hasn't even looked that great himself. It really comes down to health. I don't know. You know, I mean, Napoli fans were crying, oh, the season's over, Anguissa, we lost. I'm like, buddy, you guys only play one game a week. Like, you're all fresh. You have nothing to worry about.
How many games is he really going to be missing? But anyway.
Yeah, like, it's just so stupid, the arguments that they make, you know. One game a week, and they always want to cry victim mentality, and it's just ridiculous with them. But anyway, it's, you know, I've got a really bad feeling it's going to come down to the last game of the season. I don't think, don't know which way it'll go.
Yes.
Do you think a screw job will be in by the referees?
I don't know either. I don't know. Yeah. Very well could happen, but I don't know. Lautaro hasn't looked. He gave you a 3-game stretch where it's like, oh, is he back? And then he's not back, and it's like, I don't know. This. It's not even that I want to be negative. It's just that this season has been so exhausting, because it's just
They're giving you every reason to be.
It just hasn't. Last year was such a breeze that, like, I feel like everything was, you know, and even if we didn't look good and we still snuck out a win, now we don't look good. We're struggling for a draw, and it's frustrating, very frustrating. And like I've said, I don't know if Inzaghi's message is just falling on deaf ears. I don't know if the players just don't feel motivated anymore because they think that, you know, everyone should just bow to them because they won a Scudetto last year. That's not how this league works, unfortunately. Like, I think you need to respect your opponents always. But yeah, I'm praying that we just get the, you know, one trophy. One. I don't care if it's the UCL or, I mean, I would like to, but we a trophyless season would be very, very disappointing, especially given how poor realistically the rest of the league has been.
Yeah. I'm never gonna pick against Inter because I just, I don't know. I'm too emotional about it and too close to it. Obviously, if I was a pundit or something, I can say which way or the other, but I'm not. This is a fan podcast and I just can't bring it in me to pick against them. But I will say the mental energy that's going to be required for a UCL run, for, you know, two legs against Milan in the Coppa Italia, really we've seen that it's not a good thing for this Inter side in particular. The big games have just given us a lot of trouble and we have a lot of those big games left when you consider Coppa Italia and the Champions League. The other thing that gives me a lot of pause, a lot of worry is that this result for Napoli, despite the fact that they're dealing with injuries, it could be catalytic to them breaking out of their slump and their form. And they can feel so much better about, oh, you know, we didn't get the devastating loss, even though like it's not like they didn't need a win either. Like they're the ones that are behind us in the standing. So like they needed a win too. But I have this feeling of like as the days move on and the Italian media discusses this game, that it's going to give Napoli a momentum swing that they need to start playing a little bit better. Whether they can pull it off or not remains to be seen, but that would be my big fear. Question about objectives. What would you rather have? A domestic double, Coppa Italia and Serie A, or a Champions League trophy?
I say domestic double. I say Champions League trophy. Scudetto Champions. And the money, the Champions League is good. You can't argue that. If they even fucking spend it, if they win it. The Serie A has been so poor, it'd be a disgrace not to win it.
I would go Champions League only because, like, you can put your balls on the table against Calcio Twitter, but I'd love to be able to do it against all of European football Twitter.
I don't see it being realistic the way the injuries are stacking up and the complete lack of form week to week. Because the Serie A stinks and nobody else.
Well, then why would it be realistic
to
win the league title then?
That's also true.
But they show up against us. They don't show up against anybody else. Everybody rolls over for the rest of the league. They show up to play Inter. So, logic's front and center today.
Normally I'm rambling idiocy for you left and right over here.
Today,
your boy Rattaggi did nothing today.
Wow.
Yes, I am.
Bit of a switch up.
You're the mayor. You're the mayor of idiocy.
All right, looking at these upcoming clashes here, Feyenoord away from home Wednesday, then a Saturday match at home to Monza, and then Feyenoord at home, and then Atalanta away.
L and Atalanta W.
So that being said, how important is it for Inter to secure a result now in this away clash against Feyenoord, knowing that the next time we face them will be just a few days before making a trip to Atalanta, who's sitting a few points behind us?
Yeah. Me? Okay. I don't know. I literally right now my pessimism is out in full force. So like I feel no confidence going into this game at Feyenoord. I hope I'm wrong. Listen, imagine like they shut me up and they score four, but then they could also after that go to Monza and lose 2-0. You know, like that's the thing that would frustrate me about this team. I don't know what to expect.
Right, you're going to their barn. They're going to be up for this game. And the way Inter just don't seem to get up for games anymore this year. They've had some shocking games in the Champions League this year and managed to win, like the Young Boys game. I'd be okay with a scoreless draw at Feyenoord. You better beat Monza at home because they laid an egg at Monza earlier in the year. You have to destroy Monza. They're terrible this year. You have to kill them. And then just...
You can't go anything less than 4 points over two legs against
and then,
the Serie A. That's not a title winning.
Get an early lead against go after Feyenoord at home like they did Monaco, and then just sit back. Get your 2-goal lead and sit back, and rest guys and go to Atalanta and pray for a fucking draw the way they play this year. So
yeah, I need the result against Feyenoord on Wednesday, this upcoming game, so that that home match against them, the second leg, they're going to have to come out like a bat out of hell against us, and we can sit back and, you know, hit them on the counter and hopefully rout them. But I need a result against them in midweek. Also, just to, again, like these momentum swings, we need the momentum back in our corner. All right. Let's switch over to you, the listeners. Let's go through some of these comments here, and then we've got a couple speak pipes to play. Peter Jordan, I'm disappointed with the late goal, but I don't believe that Bastoni would have stopped the goal. We needed Dumfries to be tracking in better on that, but I feel for him, given playing on the left is alien to him. Injuries and fatigue drove the substitutions, not tactics tonight. Ronald Pena, when is all this lay down defensively with just one goal up going to stop? It's okay not attacking, but Inter last year would have killed Napoli in the second half, absorbing pressure and counterattacking. This year, we just defend and pray. There's a little bit to that for sure, but I think it also has to do with, like, we lack speed. So it's not like countering, sitting back and countering, it's just not there. That's why this lay and pray approach doesn't really work, because we can't hit teams on the counter, especially with a Thuram that's hobbled and doesn't have his his speed that we can use. Why do we look so physically weak again? Okay, Nacho Charlie, this one's interesting. My question is, what do these guys do in training? They didn't even have one shot on net in the second half. Horrible game. I didn't enjoy 1 minute. That's how bad Inter played. I mean, what do they do in training? Like, it's a professional football club that, you know, just won the Scudetto and is playing on multiple fronts. I mean, obviously they're not, I don't think that they're fucking around in training. But if you want to go ahead and go with that narrative, we can go with that narrative. All right. Some speak pipes. No questions from the folks today. Some speak pipes instead. Give me 1 second here. All right. Gino Panino. Johnny, is this your alter ego?
Yeah. It's my second account.
That's your second account? Gino Panino up first.
I believe Inter played a great first half. But in the end, the second half, you started to see their legs get weary and sat into their defensive shell. I wish Fratesi would have showed up like he did last year to help us inject a little bit of life into that second half. But we'll take the result and move on and keep playing to see what we can do at the end of the year.
Johnny, we're taking the result?
No. If you're happy with a draw, you're crazy.
It was nice to hear some seagulls.
Is that what that was? I couldn't tell. Thought okay. So. If that's the case, I mean, yeah, I guess it is nice to hear some seagulls, but yeah, frustrating. So frustrating. Taking a point from that, I can't.
Pissed off Inter fan.
Whatsoever, and this is the wrong game plan to go into this. If you want to sit back, you need to have at least a 2-goal lead, right? Us taking the foot off the gas after one goal is not smart play whatsoever, right? Now we haven't beaten Milan, Juventus, or Napoli, and there are direct title rivals excluding Milan. They're out of it, but if you look at Inter Scudetto wins from the start of the Serie A until now, all 20 of them, we've beaten them at least once during those title win seasons. And we haven't. So if you're asking me, we don't deserve the Scudetto. I don't think we are going to win it either way. But this game today and our approach to it has proven to me that we do not deserve it. And if somehow we do get it, it is by pure luck, right? We don't deserve it. Love to know your thoughts on whether or not you still think we should be we would be deserved winners. Take care, guys.
It's an interesting question of whether or not, like, if Inter does pull this out, do you deserve it? I mean, on paper, it's a 38 game season, right? Like, if you end up with the most points, you deserved it. But the idea that you didn't beat any of your direct rivals on the way to securing a Scudetto is yeah, there's a compelling case to talk about Luck there, because it would, if that's your path to the title, it would have required the teams in and around you to have shit the bed against their opponents.
Like I said earlier, it's like whoever wins the league is
what do you think about that?
Stumble their way into it, and today wasn't good enough. And you know, last year between Juve and Milan, they took 10 out of 12 points, and against Napoli, they took 4 out of 6. So it's just not good enough. You got to beat your direct rivals, and they haven't done that. And I feel like whoever's the last man standing, it might be like one of the lowest point totals to win the Serie A in years. Like this has been an ugly season by just about everybody. Yep.
I know you're pretty down on Atalanta, but let's say that we are able to take, you know, 3 points against them. That would be 6 points against Atalanta. Does that change that narrative a little bit, or are you not even considering them to be?
They've been exposed all year for the
to be one of the best.
They are, and they were never going to challenge for the Scudetto. It wasn't the sexy pick, never was. So, if they had Balotelli, maybe, but
Oh my gosh.
He knows I love to always talk
Johnny,
about
those
Balotelli.
Famous last words from Nick.
be nice. Be nice.
I don't, guys. he needs to be. Is there a way I could. Can I kick someone out while we're recording? I don't know if that's possible, but no, I don't. I don't think Atalanta are serious title contenders.
Yeah.
But I do think they'll challenge for second. So. I'm not too worried about, and I have to have them finish second and us win, because that was
genius.
What I predicted in the preseason. So I need that for my own, genius. Exactly. That's what I needed.
Do you think there's a path in for Juventus if they win
tomorrow
and are 6 points back?
No. That team is cheeks.
If they win tomorrow, they will be 6 points behind the league leaders.
They don't play tomorrow. They play the third.
Tomorrow they are playing Verona. Oh, Monday. Sorry. Monday against Verona. They still have to play Atalanta, Fiorentina, Roma, and Bologna, Lazio.
Does Inter have probably the easiest schedule on paper?
They've had such a good record against Atalanta, plus the Roman sides obviously haven't had the greatest seasons, except for Lazio is obviously overperforming, but against Inter, they haven't had the best year. So you could definitely make the case that they have.
It's
going to
be ugly.
All right, guys. Anything else we want to talk about before we get out of here? A brisk 52 minutes about what we witnessed today.
No, I'm dead on
just
the inside right
you
now.
You
got to
address these issues.
I got nothing
in
the
summer. You can't act like everything's fine. You can't rest on your laurels. Like you said, we need a roster refresh. You need 4 to 5. Dude, send the
and
Primavera.
You got to start addressing them at the Club World Cup, like before the Club World Cup. You have to start addressing. Why send
because
the Primavera? Why
clearly,
do I have to get
it's a money grab.
I'm going to a game.
Everyone across
why
every league
punished?
Is dropping like flies. Yeah.
And we don't need
hurt.
Money. We don't need money. You think I want to see Club Monterey beat Inter because we sent like teenagers?
Well, Johnny, can I ask if today we had Sucic and Pio Esposito available off the bench, do you think the result would have been different?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the people that were brought in on defense, or not brought in and taken out. Like, basically because Bisek wasn't substituted, and then you force, you know, I don't think Sucic changes anything.
He can run, for sure. Like,
of course.
He would have been on the
not
counter.
Disagreeing with that, but like, when do we do anything on the counter? We have no pace anywhere else. So even if he did start something, he'd be up there alone and have to circle back and wait for people to catch up to him. You know, Lautaro wasn't offering anything. Durham, our fastest player, hurt. Like, insane. I'm just...
Nick's pussy is acting up.
Inappropriate.
Uncalled for. I did not need to hear that. I mean, I know it was.
We all heard it. We all heard it.
I'm hoping I could edit that out and you just sound like an idiot.
All right. Inter-Napoli finishing a draw. 1 point above with 11 games to go. Let's see if Inter can pull this off. Would be meaningful. But let's see. Obviously, not great vibes. I hate to have a low energy situation, but ultimately, we got to talk about the team. And this is what they're giving us. All right. In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, Forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.